Hello, and welcome to Open Door Playhouse, a theater podcast that celebrates live theater on the podcast stage. I'm Miranda Stewart. At Open Door Playhouse, we strive to bring our listeners thoughtful and surprising 10-minute shorts and one-act plays that showcase insightful and new perspectives of the world we share with others. Open Door Playhouse is a 501c3 theater organization. Support for Open Door Playhouse comes from listeners like you. Your tax-deductible donations help keep our plays on the podcast stage. Now playing in Theater 102, I'm Not Alice in Wonderland, written by Sarah Hunter, directed by Miranda Stewart, starring Witten Frank as Melissa.
Maybe this brown is right. Oh, no. I look too severe. I look like a Franciscan monk. He likes pastels. Blue. He tells me I remind him of Alice in Wonderland when I wear blue. Oh, this is perfect. Just sexy enough to be alluring, and yet subtle enough to look like a professional working woman. I called him up 3 days ago. I said, Michael, this is Melissa. Right, the same Melissa you lived with for 2 years. Good. Well, since your birthday is approaching and since I have not seen you in a year, how would you like to celebrate over a picnic lunch? You can imagine how happy I was when he said, yes, that sounds fine. You see, Michael is a very decisive person. He wouldn't do anything he doesn't want to do. I remember it was our 2-year anniversary when we went to Le Bistro for French onion soup. I wish I could tell you it was a delightful meal, but it wasn't. In fact, it was the Last Supper. It all started when I decided to tell him I should live my own life, to become separate from his esoteric little universe. It was that Tuesday, over the French onion soup and Caesar salad, that I made my declaration of independence. I told him I needed to grow, to expand my professional life as well as my personal life. I may have even quoted from Love Yourself First, Crystal Laughter's book. Ugh, my shrink made me read it. I'd prepared my entire speech and practiced it right here in front of the mirror until I thought I was Oscar worthy. After I finished my independence monologue, I leaned across the table. He took my hand tenderly and said, Melissa, darling, I'm so glad for you. He said that. He was glad. The chairman of the English department at UCLA, the author of 5 books on syntax, was glad. I nearly tossed my Caesar salad all over his copy of Bernard Ducour's Theories and Criticisms. I mean, you would think I would have been happy about declaring my freedom. I wasn't. I was testing him. I know, I'm a fool. It was stupid. I just wanted to know how much he cared. Maybe it was manipulative. All those Sunday afternoons in the park, watching the swans and the ducks float by, sipping our champagne, laughing at the swans and naming them after Greek gods. I'd prepare a picnic basket for us, croissants from that little French bakery over on Melrose. I remember Michael used to call them crow saints, and I'd correct him. Oh, I mean, he had charm. I don't want you to think he didn't. We'd feed the swans and watch the sailors necking with their girls while the children sailed those kites through the clouds. Endless streams of red and green, yellow and blue. Dots, circles, and swirls. Japanese kites. It was like sitting in the middle of a Seurat painting. And the river always had a sort of pungent smell. I brought along incense Rose. I'd take a little flower vase out of my hamper, place the incense in it, and voila! Fresh air. We'd read to each other all afternoon. James Joyce and the Diaries of Anaïs Nin. Oh, I suppose it sounds like one of those saccharine cards you pick up at the local pharmacy with the couple walking into the sunset arm in arm. But that's the way it was. It really was. And then I had to go and sabotage everything. My analyst doesn't think that's true, but I'm telling you it is. I'm a very honest person. I'm not mysterious. You remember how I told you a little while ago that I was Alice in Wonderland? Well, after I told him my dreams about becoming a Hollywood agent and how I wanted more of my own life, he came up with the suggestion that we live totally separate lives. Why not move out and find out if we could live in perfect harmony under two different roofs? This was his idea. Why? I asked. He replied, for your own growth. My growth. Oh, but remember, I was the one who had gone on and on about how great it was to be a grown-up. When does anybody grow up? You tell me. When I was 16, I looked 25. When I was 25, I looked 30. Now that I'm over 40, I'm thinking of myself as Alice in Wonderland. Sometimes I wear knee socks. It throws people off. They don't know if I'm a potential bag lady fashionista or a Girl Scout. Michael certainly didn't care about any of my youthful attempts. He dumped me for one of his 25-year-old grad students, Lucy something or other. But this is all about time, isn't it? Timing? I mean, by the time you figure out what you're doing, time throws you into another arena and you've got to adjust. When Michael and I met, I was one of his students. More mature students, way past 30, but I'd sit in the front row in his Modern Poetry 201 class and raise my hand every 5 minutes. I think he fell in love with me because I was the only one in class who loved Gerard Manley Hopkins' Pied Beauty. That was back when he wore the tweedy jackets with the turtlenecks, and I'd sit there and compare him to Hugh Grant from Notting Hill. Oh, how I raised my hand. And by the time I'd called Emily Dickinson an American metaphysical poet, I had looked it up in the literary dictionary in the library. He was ready to marry me. Or the next best thing, live with me. We were dating. We went to art openings, Italian movies, the whole esoteric professor routine. I loved it all. I mean, the man is definitely not the person to rely on if you have a bruised psyche. He's selfish as hell. And cheap. He'll pick up the tab at a restaurant if it has the right ambiance. You know, the table over by the window at the little bistro near the theater, where all the George Bernard Shaw buffs can catch him ordering the right wines. Then he'd pick up the check. Very generous and suave. But if we were at a casual Mexican restaurant, Honcho's on La Cienega and Sunset, he orders twice as much and takes some home because it has no ambiance, and therefore it was my bill to pick up. When I saw him there last Tuesday, I wondered who picked up the bill. His favorite story is one he tells about his mother. He usually tells this story if we're out with another couple. It has great weight. His mother used to sponge up the spilled milk from his breakfast table and squeeze it back into his milk glass. He loves that story. It paints him as some poverty-stricken street urchin growing up in the tenements of New York City, who becomes the chairman of the English department at UCLA. He became my guru, you know. I upgraded my bookshelves to impress him. I bought volumes of Eastern philosophy written by men whose names I couldn't pronounce. I tried so hard, I guess. I started to forget what I'd wanted before Michael came along. I had no identity. I was Michael's live-in girlfriend. But all that changed after my mother died. I began to realize I was mortal and that I would die someday. So I asked my therapist if this might be the time for me to grow up and try to find my own identity. She said yes. So that's when I told Michael I wanted my independence. This has been a very hard year for me. I'm going to tell him this when I see him today. I will tell him how difficult it has been. It has been hell. I'm going to say, being without you and not being able to hold you in the night, it has been torture. And all the times I kept wondering if you did all those things in bed with me, those sexy things, wondering if you're doing those same things with Lucy, your graduate student. Do the two of you take long Sunday morning walks over by the pond near the cemetery? I keep being afraid I'll be walking dressed in my maroon coat and I'll see you over there by the tree where we used to sit. I was there last weekend checking to see if you were there, but you weren't. I want you to know that I still love you and I always will, and I will take you back tomorrow if you should ever change your mind, which I would like you to do. Oh. I'm making myself sick. I'm probably crazy. What am I doing? It took all the courage I had to call him up and ask him out to lunch on his birthday. A man who has moved on to another woman. Girl. Another girl. But I want him to see how far I've come. I want him to see that I have my own office now at a prestigious agency in West Hollywood, and that even though my clients are crazy actors, I have a good salary, and I am driven to make money and get a name for myself. Why, just the other day, I sent this handsome hunk on an audition for a Zyrtec commercial, and he nailed it. I have the ability to tell my clients that they deserve every part they audition for, and I boost them up and tell them, go out there and book it. Why can't I do the same thing for me? What's wrong with me? It's his fault, I tell you. It's not me. It's him. My shrink will probably tell you that I'm delusional and that I need to up my meds, but I don't want to. I'm full of energy and spunk, and even though I may be a little wacky, it's Hollywood, and who knows the difference? That's right! I'm a producer! I produce results! Oh my God, I'm going to be late for work. I can't do that. I have to be on time. I'm frantic now, and that's not good for my blood pressure or my clients. I have to keep it together. This is such a big day for me. Hello? Yes, I was just on my way out. No, it's fine. I've got a second. Oh, of course I remember what day this is. Happy birthday, Michael. You're welcome. Oh? How come? I'm sorry to hear that. No, I'm okay. Just a little disappointed. Sure, we can take a rain check. Of course I understand. You can't very well not show up for a promotion party at your office. Congratulations. I'm glad you just found out. Dean of Humanities. Bravo. Wait. Have a little something for you. I'll just drop it by your office on my way to work. You're there, correct? In your new office on Westwood Boulevard? I mean, I think that's where you are. Good. You'll be surprised. Sure, no problem. Really. Of course. Goodbye. I'll see you soon, Michael.
Our plays are produced by Bernadette Armstrong, recorded at Oak House Studio in Altadena, California, mixed and designed by our talented sound engineer, David Peters. Post-production sound effects are provided by Audio Jungle and music from Karaoke Version. If you are interested in submitting a play for production, you can find that information on our website, www.opendoorplayhouse.org, as well. Please share this podcast with friends, and don't forget to subscribe so you will be notified when our next production is live.